Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. This is Susie Bloom, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here in person with us. We certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Just As I Am, hymn number 359 in Lutheran Worship.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Morning. Welcome to St. John's. May the Lord be with you. We're glad to have you here this morning. Obviously, Pastor Galen is off this weekend. Not sure if he reminded you that last weekend, but he will be gone now the next three weekends in a row. So, as customary, when we can't find a replacement, I get the honor and the privilege to be up here in front of you to share service with you this morning. So, we will follow along as is printed in the bulletin. The only change that's going to be is when we do the, right after the creed, before the sermon, we will skip the sermon hymn and it'll be at the end of the sermon. So I'm going to be preaching today on that hymn. So I figured it might flow a little bit better if I did the sermon and then we followed by singing the hymn together. So that's the only change. Other than that, we'll follow along in our bulletins. I ask if you could please stand for the opening hymn.
Thank you.
us now continue with the confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for our sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may have a seat, and we will continue with the family hymn.
Our family hymn this week is Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, verses 1 through 6.
To us through Helena.
Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is the word of the Lord. Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 23 as is printed in your worship bulletin.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We will now hear special music by Glenn Seaver.
The second reading is from the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier dividing the wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 30 through 34 and 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may have a seat.
This is your Hour with God broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York. At exactly 1300 on your AM dial, radio WXRL.
Maybe give you a little behind-the-scenes look at how this weekend all came to be. So generally, when I do get the privilege to come up here and preach, As soon as I find out, usually one of the first things I do is I look up the lectionary and look up the gospel reading and read through it to start, you know, looking what the topic's going to be and start getting some thoughts together on how I'm going to prepare the sermon. So sure enough, as it has it this week, I go, like I always do, through the lectionary, look at it. As soon as I start reading it, say, hey, this looks very familiar. I already preached a sermon on this gospel reading. So two things quickly popped into my head. The first was, this is going to be easy. I already did this one. And then the second thought that popped into my head is, how in the heck am I doing a second sermon on a gospel reading? So because if you would have told me I'd ever be standing up here, I would have argued with you all day long. But anyways, the next time I saw a pastor, I was so excited to tell him that I already did this sermon, so I can make a few tweaks, going to be good to go. This one's going to be easy. And before I could get all those words out, his response quickly was, well, then this is an excellent opportunity for you to do a sermon on a hymn. So I said, all right, I guess we're going to do a sermon on a hymn today then. So, and it's funny because it's usually I know about a month in advance that I'm going to be preaching and stuff like that. So in that month, you know, just to bring in inside my head, I've always got thoughts rolling around, you know, listening to those words in the gospel in my head. And sure enough, wouldn't I hear something? I think I heard it either on the radio or on the TV. And I'm sure these are familiar words that we've all heard or encountered or maybe even at some point in our lives, maybe we even felt these words, but I heard on the radio, well, why isn't God doing more? You know, or I'm sure the phrase that's oftentimes heard is, well, how could God let that happen, right? And I got to be honest, when I hear these words, I mean, I get all revved up. It just gets me so excited because, first of all, I think, who in the world are we to even think we might know what God is or isn't doing? But anyways, my thoughts get going because of those words of the gospel. And in our gospel reading today, we actually stopped at verse 34 and then we skipped ahead to a couple verses. But if you continue from verse 34, it's the story of the miracle that Jesus performed with the two fish and five loaves and how he fed over 5,000 people, right? So in this story, I couldn't help but think that this absolute miracle that happened, and those 5,000 people that were the most significant part of this miracle, how many of them do you think had any idea what just happened? So, for us to think that we know what God is or isn't doing, I think we should think twice when we hear people question what our Savior and our Lord God is doing for us. But I think we all can agree that one sermon is still better than two, so I'll get back to that. Today we're going to do a sermon on what is my favorite hymn. It was a poem that was written by Carl Boberg in 1885, and it was entitled, O God, Great God. Now, according to sources, how this all unfolded was Boberg and a group of friends were attending a church service in Sweden, and as they left that church service, they were listening to the church bells that were playing as they left the church. And they could still hear them bells ringing as they got a distance away, and then sure enough, they started to see some storm clouds forming on the horizon. And the wind started picking up, and all of a sudden, they started hearing claps of thunder and flashes of lightning started to fill the sky. And sure enough, they were finding themselves in a panic, running into the trees to try to find cover, to find any shelter that they could. And before they knew it, that rain was pouring down on top of them. But just as soon as that storm came in and washed them out, it quickly moved on past them, leaving behind it a beautiful rainbow that stretched all the way across the sky. And the group of friends found themselves in complete peace and calm. And later that evening, as Boberg arrived to his home, he sat down and was looking out his window, and he was looking out over the bay, and the water was like a complete mirror, and he could just see all the vibrant colors that were reflecting in it. And he heard some birds singing in the trees, and just at that moment, the church bells started ringing again because a funeral service was going by nearby. And it was all of these sights and sounds and experiences that led Boberg to write this poem, O God, Great God, or as we know it today, How Great Thou Art. Now I ask if you would just open your hymnals for me and turn to hymn 519, How Great Thou Art, as we take a closer look at this hymn. And I'll read the first two verses for you. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze. What an amazing picture these words paint for us, right? And these words are painting a picture of the magnificence of our God and His creative hand, His remarkable works. This is the stuff that we read about in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And how truly awesome it is to have a God who creates so carefully, who knits things together so wonderfully, like a master artist or a clay maker who forms some of the most beautiful things right before our eyes. And that's all of us included, especially these little ones that are even before us today. And none of this is by chance. This is all part of God's handiwork. And Psalm 124 tells us, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And how it soothes our soul and brings peace to our hearts. How we know that how faith tells us that if God took the time and care enough to carefully create, and if we are fearfully and wonderfully made, then there is no way that God would ever walk away or even leave us. Not this, our great God, who is our provider and preserver. Philip Yancey once wrote, a God wise enough to create me and the world I live in is wise enough to watch out for me. And how he does just that. Each day as he provides for us physically, he watches over us in ways that we never could, and I'm sure many of us could tell you in ways we could never imagine. And there is no greater example of how God provides for us and watches over us than the words of verses 3 and 4. Let me share those with you now. But when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. This is our all-creating and great God, who fearfully and wonderfully made us. His people, the epitome of His creative work. And He wants us to Himself forever. Why? Because we are His and He loves us. And when the problem with sin and our very own disobedience gets in the way, how He even paved the way for our recreation through His Son, who He gave to die on the cross and rise for us, so that we may be forgiven and free. Free to love like He loved us. Free to worship in awe and wonder. And free to love one another and to serve one another. And to have a hope, to be hope-filled for what He has to come for us. How God did what had to be done to save His very own. And how He continues to care for us each and every day. And how He unites us to His Son through faith. As He cares for us like a shepherd cares for his sheep. How He stills us in those storms of life. And how He will bring us at last to that bright new day of eternity. And then, just then, what joy shall fill our hearts indeed. Home at last, and there is no greater place to be than there. All the saints before us, with no more suffering, no more pain, and no more storm clouds. Just joy and peace in the presence of Jesus face to face. Joy and peace with all the saints. The grandest reunion of them all. And I don't know about you, but I can't help but picture all of those faces of those who I am longing to see and can't wait to see again. And when I do, then and just then, like never before, I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, O God, how great Thou art. Today we are reminded of just how awesome our God truly is. It is His creative and preserving hand that can and will sustain us now and forever. And just like Bo Berg, sometimes those sudden storms can come on out of nowhere, and those clouds will roll into our lives. And if we're not careful, darkness can quickly overcome us and bring us to a point where we may see no good at all. And how, like Chippy, our friend, that canary from a few weeks back, we may find ourselves feeling sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And in those moments, how easily we might despair and fear and maybe even doubt God's presence and power. But if there's one thing that we can take from this hymn today, it's that God is bigger than all of it. And that no matter what life puts in front of us, that we will never be alone. The same great God who created us is the same great God who provides for us, preserves us, and sustains us. And that leads our hearts and souls to sing with such confidence and such trust to say, how great Thou art. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now, if you will open your hymns and sing together with me the words of hymn 519, How Great Thou Art.
congregations, offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. Due to technical difficulties last Sunday, July 15th, we are unable to announce the radio sponsorship. The radio broadcast for last Sunday was sponsored by the Varga family in memory of Mom Blanche Varga. And this morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by Ed and Deanne Lorenz in thankfulness to God for the birth of baby Austin and for the joy and blessing of all the grandchildren.
Continue with the prayer of the church. Just an additional prayer that I'd like to, a name to mention is Eric Brown is in the VA hospital undergoing some testing. Let us also keep him in our prayers this week. Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for through Christ we have access to Him in the Holy Spirit. Holy Father, your Son builds His church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and makes Himself the cornerstone that unites us all. Through the peace of His forgiving blood, put away from your baptized children all that you would divide them, that they might be truly joined together and grow together into a holy temple in the Lord. We pray especially for the Blake, Bloom, Borowski, Brandenburger, and Brennan families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ruler of the nations, look in kindness on all who hold public office in our land and throughout the world. We pray especially for Donald, our president. Strengthen them in every good deed and make them a blessing of yours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate One, no need of your children escapes your notice or provision. Remember in mercy the hungry and homeless, the lonely and frightened, the sick and grieving. Open your hand, O Lord, and satisfy the desire of each hurting soul and of every living thing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, in your Son's resurrection, victory, death, lost its power to separate us from your love. We praise you for all whom he has joined us by his Holy Spirit to himself in the church and to whom he has given a life that death will never snatch from them. Bring us to sing with them and all who hope in his steadfast love the new song in the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. sign-up sheet out in the narthex. The biggest change is with for anyone who signed up for the double-decker boat bus tour ride. What happened is we actually got a good response of people that would like to attend. So now the dilemma is there's not enough room on the bus that was for that date. So now the plan is to do the following week. I believe the date is the 18th. So hopefully that works. That date will work for everybody who signed up. So please check your calendars. And if you can or can't, contact Kim and she'll talk to you. I know one other question that came up is that the bus ride was at like 6 o'clock. So people didn't know for food, should they eat before they come?
Yeah, there isn't a dinner associated with
it. Okay. So does everybody hear that? So if you are planning on attending, eat before you go. So that's a major change of the for the announcements. Like I said, Pastor Galen is on vacation now for the next 3 weekends. So we made it through this one. Thank you, dear Lord. I will be covering next weekend, so please pray. And then the following weekend, we will have a guest preacher. So that's how things fall. We do have coverage in case any emergencies do come up. You could contact me, or you can contact the office, and they'll get you in touch. I believe this week, the coverage is going to be from Phil Schultz, who's at St. Luke's. And then next week, I believe, is going to be Pastor Blackwell. So if, heaven forbid, anything do come up, we do have coverage. You can just contact either the church office or myself, and we'll get you taken care of. So, anybody else got anything for the good of the group? That's all I got. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.